Welcome to the Gay Amish Podcast. I am your hostess with the mostess, James Swartz, author of The Literary Party, Growing Up Gay and Amish in America, available on Amazon Kindle. Each episode, I will be discussing a topic relevant to Amish, LGBTQ Amish, and the Anabaptist diaspora at large. Join me. Wie bist du? Welcome to the Gay Amish Podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, James Swartz. I am so excited to dive into episode 3. It is, once again, a great honor, and I feel incredibly grateful to have this opportunity to hold space with my Amish community. My former Amish community that I was forced to leave because, if you don't know, the Amish are like frozen in time, and they're being held hostage by a number of factions, a number of people with political agendas. So going forward, let's keep this in mind. A lot of evangelicals are really like hardcore converting Amish to evangelicalism. Am I saying that right? Evangelicalism? They're offering help and support to Amish people that want to leave, but you have to pay the piper, and the price is becoming an evangelical, which is at odds with a number of teachings from the early Anabaptists. For example, the Amish don't believe in evangelicalizing. They don't believe in spreading the Amish gospel to Sikh converts, like the evangelicals do. And so here we are, 2020. It's a new year. And as of now, the Amish and LGBTQ Amish really have no resources or help beyond what ex-Amish are trying to offer. And by ex-Amish, I mean non-practicing Amish. I mean the Amish Heritage Foundation. I mean LGBTAmish.com. So, the Amish community, the Amish religion in North America, is unique in a lot of ways, in many, many ways. And they're under a lot of pressure to change, both from the outside and within. There's a certain faction of Amish that would like to see improvements made. If you don't know, teenagers are teenagers. And Amish teenagers have cell phones like everyone else. For business purposes only, of course. But the Amish are getting their education from the internet. And so they are believing what other people tell them about their history, about our history. Which, of course, makes it easier to corral them into a new religion. makes it easier to hijack the Amish, the Anabaptist narrative. For anyone listening that does not know, the Amish are among the most homophobic churches in America. And there are several voices that are leading this hatred fueled towards gay Amish. The evangelicals, there are several groups that have expressed extreme anti-gay views, hatred, and prejudice against us. It's unfortunate, but that is our reality. So, I would like to just take a moment and connect with you. Connect with my Amish community on this. There is a beautiful book written by John Boswell, Christianity, Homosexuality, and Social Tolerance, I believe is the title. But this is essential reading if you want to understand homophobia in Christianity. And it's unfortunate, but again, here we are. I feel so grateful to be able to hold space with you. So if we could just together have a moment and honor the LGBTQ Amish in our history, who have been shunned, silenced, and possibly killed. A lot of things in the Amish community are unknown, but one thing that is known is there is blood on Amish hands. There is gay blood on Amish hands. And it continues to this day, and it will continue next year, and it will continue into the future. So I recognize the opposition that we're up against. And I'm here to tell you that we are fighting back. We want to offer a space. We want to offer support and help for gay Amish who need it. There are roughly almost 350,000 Amish, Old Order Amish in North America. That's a lot of gay people statistically within those numbers. And they're trapped. A lot of times people will say, well, can't they just leave? I mean, they're not a cult, right? And the truth is, they cannot leave. Because if they did, they would be dragged back. Possibly dragged back. And even if there was like a clean break in their leaving, they are facing a life where they don't know anyone. They have no resources. They're probably undocumented. Many Amish do not have social security cards or birth certificates or both. So they can't get a driver's license or state ID card. And this is a real problem. There are some organizations that are trying to help the Amish obtain these documents, but again, you have to pay the piper. And The price for that is converting to their religion and their belief set. And today is Martin Luther King Day. Which is sort of appropriate, I suppose, to be discussing this issue on MLK Day, but we're denied our human rights. The American institutions don't offer any help. No one does. Because the Amish are a closed community. And the Mennonite Church, which is cousins to the Amish, which are cousins to the Amish, literally split in half over the issue of gay marriage or accepting gay people within their church, which is really ironic because not only are they being pressured by the evangelical community to take on an anti-gay stance, some people are comfortable with their hate, because if you take that away from them, they're left with their pain. They're left with fear of the unknown. So, recently, an article was published in Cosmopolitan magazine about the Amish sex abuse crisis. I believe that is the title, and you can Google it. And it's a total Ronan Farrow style hit piece. I mean, seriously. But it seems to me incomplete because it doesn't offer resources and it doesn't offer help. Like, what are Amish supposed to do with this article and this information? Read it and go on to the next page? I mean, you know, there's no resources offered. So if you are LGBTQ Amish, if you are just Amish and want to leave the church, you do have support. And you do not have to compromise your faith. You do not have to compromise your belief system with the Amish Heritage Foundation, with LGBTAmish.com. And beyond that, there's not much. There's nothing at all, actually. So, the Amish Church needs to update. Because what worked for the Amish 100 years ago does not work for the Amish today, and it's creating this society of really dysfunctional people. Another recent story was about a large Amish party being broken up by the police, and 35 people, I believe, were arrested for underage drinking or supplying alcohol to minors. This was in Indiana. And it was just like a reminder of that dysfunction. So, one of the things I would like to address on this episode is the hatred and homophobia from some ex-Amish who have been converted to evangelicalism or some other right-wing extremist ideology. And that is not who the Amish are. That is not who the early Anabaptists were. In fact, the early Anabaptists were complete radicals, breaking away from the Catholic Church and really stepping into the space of radical love as espoused by Jesus Christ. The early Anabaptists are probably rolling over in their graves right now, seeing as to what our community has come to. Being told how to dress, being told the length of your dress, the length of your beard, you know, all of these rules that govern the Amish church and community, which serve no one, really. Does it really matter how long your dress is? Really? If an Amish woman wants to wear a miniskirt, she should be able to wear a miniskirt. If an Amish man wants to wear a miniskirt, he should be able to wear a miniskirt. Why not? Clothes are clothes, and it's expression. So, I feel that we're on like this precipice right now. And change needs to happen sooner rather than later. I mean, we are rapidly losing our own identity. When Amish read books, when we go to a library or a bookstore to find books about our own culture, it's always written by someone else. It's not about us. It's not written by us. And so some Amish, you know, are believing what they read. And this leads to things like reality TV shows called the Amish Mafia. The Amish are pacifists. They're conscientious objectors. And they have always been against war. So, that's just one example. Other reality TV shows, you know, like the whole Rumspringa thing, seem fun and entertaining, but there's also a lot of misinformation, and it's not helpful in terms of dialogue. It's not helpful when Amish people see non-Amish culture portraying them. So, again, being, you know, coerced into other religions like the evangelicals, you know, we actually share very little of our heritage with evangelicals, because we don't believe in we don't believe in converting other people to the Amish, and even their interpretations of scriptures are different than the Amish. But if an Amish was to, you know, access the internet, they would, you know, think that the opposite was true. So, I want to discuss Amish homophobia from a stance that is actually helpful, so that we are all on the same page and we can share a common history. This is so important, because what I know is not what another Amish person knows. What they know is not what I know. Like, there's this real separation among us, and it's actually getting worse or more common, I guess. It's incredibly insulting to have Amish, or I should say ex-Amish, non-practicing Amish, decide for the Amish community that they need to imitate evangelicals and their belief system, which is, of course, incredibly homophobic. And the ex-Amish that are doing so have their own agenda. They're making money off of Amish people. They're making money off of their own religious ideology, and that has to stop. I mean, it does not serve the Amish, and it dishonors the Anabaptist heritage, which again is, you know, radical and following the message of Christ, which is love. If you seek to separate people, if you seek to anything that does not unify people is not helpful, and actually would go against Christ's teachings, and would certainly go against the early Anabaptists. So, again, we are definitely at a crossroads. So the Amish today are betraying their own heritage. They're betraying their founding fathers. They are literally turning their backs on their own belief system. And there seems to be this sort of transition happening into where the Amish are becoming more and more intolerant of other people. The Amish are against this, they're against that, they're against this, they're against that. Pretty much whatever the evangelicals are against, the Amish are against now. If they're for something, the evangelicals are for it. So, I think it's important for all of us Amish and those in the Anabaptist diaspora to really honor our ancestors and return to the, you know, their original vision of radical love and what that means. In the first episode, I talked a little bit about the Amish being separated from their homelands and also suffering historical trauma. World War I and World War II, even the previous wars, the Amish all lived through that, and they were conscientious objectors. The Amish have always been anti-war. But today, we're seeing Amish showing up at Trump rallies, chanting build the wall, chanting lock her up. What is that? Well, it's the evangelicals at work. That's what it is. So our culture, our religion, and our heritage is in danger because the early Anabaptists would be incredibly liberal. When you look at, you know, cousins to the Amish, like, for example, the Mennonites, they're at the border, you know, trying to help refugees. They're not chanting, build a wall. Look at the Quakers. So, there are some real challenges that we're facing today. And there is so much homophobia, there's so much hatred, there's so much intolerance. And this is, again, at odds with our founding fathers. And in case you didn't know, I am directly descended from one of those founding fathers. He crossed an ocean to come to America and make a better life for himself. And again, going back to episode one, decolonizing the old order, the early Amish contributed to Native American genocide and bought up and took Native American land from Native Americans. I understand that that was another era, another time. But the consequences are, you know, the Amish used to be amazing farmers, really in touch with, you know, the earth, with agriculture. And they had a lot of farming techniques. And if you want to talk about losing your cultural identity, all you have to do is look at an Amish farm. Again, you know, there's some nice Amish farms out there, especially in the tourist areas, but some Amish farms totally look like shit. There's no way around it. And that is because, A, the Amish man doesn't want to be a farmer, but, you know, he doesn't have much choice in the matter. Or, B, he does not know what his ancestors knew. If you ask any indigenous person, any Native American, they will tell you that a people and their land are connected. And the Amish today are removed from their homelands. They're, you know, an ocean away from Switzerland and rural Europe. And it shows. So, in conclusion, ex-Amish need to realize that we are not the evangelical church. Ex-Amish and Amish need to return to the early Anabaptist teachings. And again, the church needs updating. What worked for people in the 1800s does not work for people today. What worked back then does not work now, does not serve us in any way, and is leading to dysfunction, and is leading to a lot of problems within the Amish. There's this sort of narrative out there that if you're non-practicing Amish, if you're an openly gay Amish, if you are, you know, if you subscribe to a secular belief, then you're against the Amish, that you're trying to, you know, contribute to the Amish downfall. But the truth is, the Amish are doing that all by themselves, by not doing anything at all.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.